Hola y bienvenido a Planeta Estela. I'm Veronica Vilsky here with Matt Newman, who has recently completed a 2016 Spanish and Medicine program in Peru. Matt, bienvenido. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi. My name is Matt Newman. I'm a third-year student at Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo, and I just recently got finished with the program over the summer, and I had a phenomenal time. A little bit more about me, I'm applying to medical school, hopefully, once I graduate, and I'm interested in potentially becoming a family doctor or a general practitioner.
Excellent. And did you mention when will you graduate?
I will graduate in 2018.
When you first saw the information about the Spanish and Medicine program, what interested you the most?
Well, I really liked that it had the combination of studying Spanish and learning about medicine. Those were two things I was really interested in. I had a lot of other options at my school, but none of them had anything that pertained to medicine. So it was a combination of being able to study and learn Spanish while simultaneously getting hands-on medical experience that sold me.
Yeah. Did you have any concerns before you went?
Yeah, I was definitely concerned a little bit about, just how it was all going to work out and just wondering how I was going to, plan it all and get there. But I was able to keep in touch with the people at Estela and send emails and get my questions answered and set up phone calls. So the people at Estela were great about answering my questions via email or over the phone. So that helped steady my nerves.
Good. And then once you got there, how long did it take for you to feel comfortable?
Oh, it was immediate. I was nervous up until the moment I got to Cusco, but the second I got to Cusco, everything was better at that point. My family was phenomenal, and they were super welcoming, and everyone at the school was super nice, and my classes were really fun, and there was nothing really that made me uncomfortable about being in a foreign country, which is kind of crazy, but it was awesome.
That is kind of crazy. So can you tell me more? I'm assuming you're talking about a homestay family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you tell me more about them?
Yeah, they were great. I lived with a big family. There were four kids total, and they were between 14 and 2 years old, actually. So they were really fun. Oh. Yeah, the little boy was adorable. So they were just really nice, and they had breakfast for me every day before I left for school, and dinner when I got back, and the food was always delicious, and it was really interesting experience to have a family that was so concerned about my day, and at the same time, they were talking to me in Spanish the entire time, so it was just crazy to have a family that spoke Spanish.
I was just going to say that's such awesome practice that probably they were all asking you questions too.
Yeah. It was a little hard to adjust at first. Some of the family members were easier to understand than others, but after about 2 weeks, I could understand everybody.
Oh, that's excellent. 2 weeks is not very long at all.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel the same about your shadowing then? Like at first it was difficult to understand, and it just took a few weeks to get the hang of it?
Yeah, shadowing at the hospital is a little bit different. It just kind of depended on the doctor. There were some doctors. There were actually some doctors who spoke pretty decent English, but most of them, it just depended on how much English they knew and how willing they were to work with you. So sometimes you'd have doctors that turned and explained everything to you and kind of made sure that you understood everything that was going on and spelled it all out for you. And then there were some doctors that just kind of went about their day, and you kind of just had to put together what you could.
They're both good for learning, though.
Yeah.
So which shadowing experience resonated the most with you?
I definitely enjoyed my time. When I went to a lot of the different departments in the hospital, and I really enjoyed the emergency medicine unit. Was the emergency room was really interesting. I saw a lot of really weird cases in there, and at the same time, there was also a lot of regular everyday stuff. But I also enjoyed the pediatric unit. It was really interesting. And I also really enjoyed my time volunteering at Madre Teresa, which isn't necessarily medical experience, but the volunteer experience I got there was also very, very inspiring, I would say.
Yeah, so going back to the emergency room medicine, you said there were some interesting cases. Were you familiar with, like, the U.S. emergency room, too, that you could compare them?
Yeah, it definitely, comparing it to how emergency rooms operate in the United States is vastly different. so there was just a lot of, there was some level of poverty and the doctors kind of, just making do with what they had, and so they kind of, it was kind of messy and jumbled, and it was just really interesting to see how they operated without a lot of the things that in the U.S. seem so commonplace that, like, I couldn't imagine doctors working without. I mean, just as an example, like, they would cut open bottles that used to hold saline solution, and they'd cut the tops off and use that as the vomit bag. So, like, they couldn't afford vomit bags. So if any patient started throwing up, they would use these big saline bottles, mm-hmm. Big 1 liter bottles, and they would just cut the tops off, and that would be their container. So,
oh man,
yeah, just crazy things like that where they just kind of had they kind of made up their own system, and then there were just a lot less restrictions and regulations, so we were just allowed to do more than we would have been in the United States.
Okay, so like hands-on things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And then going to Madre Teresa, what type of activities did you do there to help out?
We did a lot of cool things. We mostly helped with feeding a lot of the children and adults who live there. Mm-hmm. And we also helped with laundry. We helped just clean up, help sleeping. We washed chairs. We just did whatever it was that they needed help with that day. But the majority of the time I spent helping feed. And so that was really a good time to interact with a lot of the children and adults there.
Mm-hmm. So can you think of one experience or instance that impacted you the most, kind of going forward as a future physician?
One thing that stuck to me was during Madre Teresa, there was a man there who had been crippled from the waist down, so he couldn't walk, and I just had a really nice conversation with him. It was kind of I was kind of just there going about what I was doing, just like helping with dishes and wandering around and helping out, and then I just sat and talked to this guy and we just talked for like an hour, and he just talked about like what made him sad about, like, being here at Madre Teresa, and, like, what he just told me about his whole life story, and it was just so interesting. I really cherished that time that I got to spend and talk with this guy, and he just was such an interesting person, and I, kind of just walked around without knowing any of these people's stories or who they were, and so I definitely got to know this guy really well, and it was a really interesting experience. And so that was something I think I'll carry with me, just wanting to make that personal connection like I did with that guy. It was just a really good feeling knowing that I got to talk to them. We actually, at the end of it, at some point religion came up, and we talked about how he was a Catholic, I was a Christian, and we just kind of prayed, and I prayed for him. It was a really cool experience.
Yeah, and that is what people are looking for in their physicians, too, is somebody they can connect with and trust. So that's excellent. Going to Spanish classes, like at Acela, what was your Spanish level going in?
My Spanish level going in, I started in the 300 level, the advanced classes. And okay. So I had a lot of experience already with Spanish, and I knew a lot of the grammar, and I had taken a lot of classes before, but I really had very little experience speaking. So I found that these things that made so much sense to me while I was writing
mm-hmm.
were very hard for me to get to say quickly. And so I really developed my speaking abilities really quickly because I had to talk to my family and I had to talk Spanish in classes. So that, I would say, I went from like 0 to 100 on that, because now I feel really comfortable speaking Spanish, whereas before it would be slow and I'd have to think, oh, how do I conjugate that?
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Do you feel like a lot of times students, you know, feel like they get there and kind of advance, and then there's like a plateau period and then another leap. Do you feel like you experience that?
Yeah, I feel like I accelerated really, really quickly in the beginning and got to the ability to speak. And then at this point, I'm still on a plateau because I'm at the
mm-hmm.
point now where I just need to gain more and more and more, you know, and I gain a lifetime of experience speaking it, you know, because now at this point I know almost all of the grammar. I, you know, there's still things that trip me up, but I need to expand my vocabulary. I need to just talk to more people. So I'm looking for ways back at home to sort of mimic what I got to do at Acela, which was just to talk to people.
Mm-hmm. Have you found anything yet?
I'm researching like coffee shops, you know, if they have like a Spanish hour, it's like a Spanish table,
mm-hmm.
or, I think there's one at school too. We have one hour a week of just sitting and talking to people. And so I'm just looking for things like that.
What did you like best about, like the professors and their way of teaching?
I really liked that you cycled through the professors really quickly, so you kind of got to see everyone's different teaching styles. And so if you really didn't like the way someone taught, you only had to deal with it for that week. And so that was a nice aspect. And then another thing that was really cool was that the class sizes were never more than 3 or 4 or 5 tops, I think. And so you got a lot of time to ask questions, and so you really got the chance to ask any questions you had. And I would like, my one big piece of advice is to ask a lot of questions in the Spanish and in your classes, because that's the only way you're going to learn, because there were definitely students in my program who were scared of the language and were scared of speaking and didn't want to put themselves out there, and
mm-hmm.
the Spanish didn't hardly improve. You know, so it's there's a level of personal responsibility, I think, in the classes that those teachers want to speak to you, and you know, you want to speak, mess up, and have them correct you so that you don't make that mistake at the hospital or with your family, you know.
Mhm.
And so that,
yeah,
that's,
and otherwise
like
you just don't improve. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're afraid of speaking wrongly, then you're never going to really get to be able to speak well.
Mm-hmm. So what was the most adventurous thing you did?
The most adventurous?
Mm-hmm.
I think the most adventurous thing we did was, definitely, we took a trip to the jungle, and that was just kind of wild because we didn't go through Acela, actually, because we didn't, we had a free weekend and we decided to plan a trip to the jungle. And so we, you know, bought a bus ticket and set ourselves up with a company that would organize a trip down there. And so we kind of just went on our own, like 12 of us, to the jungle for a whole weekend. And it was like, we had to find, you know, we had to find our transport. We had to find a lot of these things. And there were just some crazy stories from the jungle. So... So the other crazy thing was Rainbow Mountain. We did that. That was a really crazy trip just because the altitude was so high. And so there was a hike that if it were at sea level, it probably would have taken us 2 hours. and it would have been super easy. The slope wasn't that steep, but it was just probably the hardest hike I've ever done because I just could not breathe the whole time. And so it took like 4 hours.
Do you know the altitude on that?
Yeah, it was 5,100 meters, which is about 17,000 feet.
Oh, my goodness. That's really high. Was it worth it, though? Like, good views?
Oh, it was absolutely worth it. It was a breathtaking view.
Excellent. So what things did you do, like, after school, just smaller things around town?
We would go, there's the mall really close to campus. We'd go to mall. One really funny thing we did one time was we all got together and decided we were going to have an America night. And we all went to Chili's at the mall and got big cheeseburger, a bunch of fries. It was just like, it was really funny.
Did it taste like Chili's back?
Yeah, it did. I don't go to Chili's very often, but it tasted like American, you know, fast food. So.
Well, they got it right then.
Yeah.
That was funny.
that was really good. We did that about halfway through. It was like a good, like, homesick, like, American meal.
Mm-hmm. Did you communicate with people back home throughout the program?
Yeah. I Skyped my girlfriend. I Skyped my family. I think I got a texting plan, but it was pretty limited. So I just mostly Skyped on the Wi-Fi when I got home at night.
That's awesome. And it was pretty easy. Was there Wi-Fi in most places?
There was Wi-Fi at home and there was Wi-Fi at school, so that's where I lived most of the time. And so whenever I went on like a trip, I would have to go a couple days without any communication, except for, it's actually really funny, I had a miscommunication with my dad, and he had one with Verizon, and he called Verizon and told them and asked, and what he understood was that incoming calls were free, but it was only incoming texts that were free.
Oh,
so I got charged. I got charged for all these calls that I thought were free, and it was a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. Whoops.
Yeah, it was bad because I talked to my girlfriend, and so we talked quite a bit, and so I had like 1,000 minutes.
Did you find out before the end of your trip, or was it like you got home and it's like,
nope.
And here's your bill? Oh.
Yep, $400.
Youch.
Yeah. So that was pretty lame. Make sure you know what your plan is.
Do you have a favorite Spanish word or phrase?
I really like, we liked saying chévere, which is their word for like cool. And that's just a local thing. I don't know how far it spreads. I don't know if it's all of Peru, but like, that was just their word for cool, for like saying cool. And so we said that a lot. Just when everything was cool, it's chévere.
Oh, that's good. So studying abroad can obviously be intimidating. What encouragement do you have for someone thinking of going to Peru to do the Spanish and medicine program?
I would say that it was the adventure of a lifetime for a lot of reasons. And one of those reasons was that it was the first time I had ever gone like on my own, because I traveled with a church group in high school, and they planned everything. They took me through the airport. They, you know, there's almost nothing I needed to, nothing independent. So this was a really great opportunity because I, you know, obviously I could ask any questions with over email or over text or over email or over the phone. But there were times like in the airport, you know, I was flying alone. I had to pack my own bags. I had to make sure everything was in accordance. And I learned a lot while I was there, just about like safety and just about how to be a traveler. And so after this trip, I feel now like I could travel anywhere. I could go anywhere. I could do anything on my own, and I'd feel comfortable doing it because I've been a traveler before. And so this was a really, really cool. It's a really good experience because it is with a school, and so they do have that safety net. And so you have a home base, you know, you have your home stay. And so it was really, it had some safety nets, but it taught me how to be an independent person and traveler. And so I guess my words of encouragement would just be just to go for it. And, you know, Acela is going to take care of any questions you have and making sure that it all goes smoothly. But if it really, it's something I wish like everyone got the chance to do.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely changes you as a person.
Yeah.
For
yeah,
the better.
I definitely feel, I definitely feel like a different person. I definitely feel a lot more independent. And like if I had, you know, $1,000 saved up, I would, you know, I'd get on a plane and go somewhere. And, you know, the cost of living is so cheap in a lot of these places that it's just like there's no reason not to just go travel somewhere.
You mentioned safety. Did you have any, like, any safety issues while you were there?
I did a little bit. I got into a taxi that I shouldn't have at the airport.
Okay.
So I managed to, and he tricked me into paying him with a false rate, so he told me that the rate was 35 sols to one, which, so I would make sure that you know what the rate is for the
okay.
for the exchange rate. So I, when I thought I was paying $20 for a cab, I found out I paid him $200 for a cab.
Oh my goodness.
So I would make sure you know how much money you need, and it turns out he didn't actually need to drive me anyway. So he, I would say, that's like the big piece that I learned, is that not to trust people's confidence in their charisma, you know, like he seemed
right.
so convincing. He was like, oh, you have a domestic flight. You need to come with me to the, like, you know, he was super helpful. He was a really helpful, nice guy.
Yeah.
But he was totally scamming me. So that was the one piece. And then I was on the bus and I got my phone pickpocketed out of my pocket.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that was really lame. So I would say, nothing in your back pockets, nothing easily accessible on your backpack, and keep your hands in your front pockets, because they actually took my phone out of my front pocket, which was crazy.
Did you notice?
Nope, didn't notice.
Huh. So just keep your hands in your pockets then? That would be like on the bus, as you're walking down the street, or mostly just crowded areas?
Yeah, if you're walking in a really crowded area, and the buses are often really crowded because it's like
mm-hmm.
right in the middle of rush hour. And, you know, I've been doing this every day, and it was, like, week five. So
yeah.
I totally let my guard down. You know, I was trusting of the city, and, you know, I still believe that Cusco is, like, a really safe city. Cusco is, like, a really, really peaceful city. And
mm-hmm.
so these are just a couple of bad eggs that they...
Sounds like you have a really good perspective on everything, like $400 phone
yeah.
call and your $200 taxi ride and your phone. So.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's
See,
good.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, I may, like, all those bad things may have happened, but it could have been a lot worse. And I definitely feel like the experience I gained and, like, the, I don't know if that word, but, like, naivete that I've, like, gotten rid of.
Yeah.
Has been really eye opening.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Matt, for your time and sharing all of your experiences with us.
Yeah, absolutely.